Hello and welcome to ECNM On Air, a podcast series from ECNM Magazine that shares industry intelligence, insights, and opinions on all topics electrical. I'm your host, Ellen Parson, Editor-in-Chief of ECNM, and I'm here today with some industry experts to discuss how the ongoing workforce shortage continues to plague the nation's construction industry. Specifically, we're going to be talking about Rosendin Electric's new partnership with Arizona State Educators and the steps that they're taking to try and recruit and train the next generation of electrical workers. So we have Rosendin's CEO Emeritus Mike Greenwalt and Edward Cota with Arizona's Department of Education and Chief Strategy Officer and Chairman of the Arizona Education Economic Commission with us today. When we recorded this podcast initially, we actually got so much great information from these two that I decided to split the podcast into parts, making it more manageable for our listeners and to ensure that you don't miss any of this content. So in part one of the podcast, which is already posted and available on our website, we discussed background on the new program, Mike's journey from a C student to running a $3 billion electrical contracting company, Rosendin, and the innovative methods they're developing to inspire and recruit the next generation of electrical workers at surprisingly young ages. That's a really interesting component. In this episode, part two, we'll continue this fascinating discussion with more information on how construction leaders can benefit from public-private partnerships like this, how to develop similar models to teach in middle schools and high schools. And what I thought was especially interesting was how we talked about, they discussed the art of shifting the perception of the skilled trades in not only the students' minds, but also in their parents' minds, basically changing the narrative, if you will, of how people have historically viewed the skilled trades. So that's a really interesting component. We'll also spend some time talking about ways they're thinking outside the box, harnessing an immersive technological experience to attract kids and create greater interest in a career in the electrical field. It's actually really fascinating. I'm going to let our guests introduce themselves briefly before we start our discussion. Mike, would you like to begin?
Yes, it's good to be here. And I am Mike Greenwald, and I am the CEO Emeritus of Rosendin. I've been with Rosendin for, 22 years now. Been in the electrical contracting industry since 1979, where I started as an apprentice in Phoenix, Arizona, Local 640. I've had a very unique career. I've sat in about every seat in the business, starting from an apprentice and decided I wanted to be a boss and moved into the office. And it's been an amazing opportunity after opportunity after opportunity came to me, and I became CEO, took over the wheel in 2020. It's been an amazing career. Electrical contracting industry is in my blood. And as I started wrapping up my career, I just saw the shortage and thought what a bad thing it is, the fact that young men and women out there don't know how great this industry is and what they can do. And if you don't want to be an electrician 10 years in, you can become an estimator and CEO. So this business is just so vast. So kind of went on my mission to see if I could help it out a little bit. And it's been a very rewarding move so far. So here I am.
Yes, thank you. We're glad, we're excited to hear all about that. So Edward, how about you?
Thanks so much, Ellen. It's great to be here. So my name is Edward Cota. I'm the Chief Strategy Officer for the Department of Education here in Arizona. I come from the private sector. So I have a much different, I guess, perspective than a lot of other people within the Department of Education that are in this building. But I was an executive for a Fortune 500 company for about 17 years and decided to come here. We saw a huge need. We're all struggling. There's no industry that's immune to this work shortage, right? Mm-hmm. And then life really, really changed when I went to GCU and I met Mike Rosendin here. And he'll get into that story later, but I will tell you that when you get the right group of people that are highly motivated and open-minded and you're rowing in the same direction, it is incredible what we can accomplish. And we're excited to share for Mike to share all the work he's done. And I'm excited to share what some unique things that we're doing here in Arizona.
So now that we know a little bit more about our guests, let's jump right in. So it sounds like, I mean, you're obviously trying to also shift the perception of the skilled trades. That's one of the things you're doing. And how are you doing that? Mainly through schools, by talking to the counselors, or through like other leaders in the community? Or how are you shifting that perception when you're trying to reach someone that's a sixth grader and they don't even know what the perception, what that means?
I think that's a great question. And that is a big challenge, because I've been very fortunate and done well. And I have a child, and my wife and I, we put them through private elementary school and private high school and private university. Went to GCU. And they're always doing fundraisers. You're always there at a fundraiser at these private schools. And I know what it's like to be standing amongst a room of doctors and lawyers and politicians. And when I say, well, what do you do? And I can, this is a true story. I said, well, and I just say, I'm an electrician. I'm very proud of that. I don't want to tell people I'm CEO. I tell them I'm an electrician.
You'll say, I'm the CEO of this multi-million dollar
contractor. And one of them looked at me and he goes, oh, I heard there was a tradesman here. And I can feel my wife's hand, fingernails digging into my hand to behave. And he goes, wow, you must really be doing well to be able to send your son to this school. And I looked at him, I said, I'm a really good electrician.
I'm a really good one.
That to me is probably one of the most infuriating things that's ever happened to me.
Right.
We work hard. We work really hard. And I want to make sure that people stand up and puff their chest out. And I'd rather say I'm an electrician than a CEO.
I just love the
fact that that's what I do. What's happening here? We have apprenticeships at the federal level, at the state level, are governed, heavily governed by the Department of Labor. They're held so far apart from the Department of Education. And we're educating, but it's viewed as this voodoo thing you do over there. It's the same class. We have curriculum. We have a syllabus. We have everything. And we have the Department of Education that is our elementary schools, our high schools, our universities. It all comes up. And we can't marry these because we don't have enough time to change legislation to say we're all going to be one happy family here. What's happening in Arizona is the Department of Education is trying to reach the same people we're reaching. They're going to help feed them into our programs, and we're going to up our game to make sure they have an education opportunity. It is higher education. The Department of Education, when they talk about educators saying, ooh, you can be an apprentice, it's a lot different than the director of an apprenticeship saying that.
Right.
This is going to normalize this education opportunity. And I think it's going to help people, parents, it'll be much more palatable to parents if the superintendent of public education says these are great opportunities.
Exactly.
We can send our kids to the University of Arizona, or we can send them to the Phoenix Electrical Apprenticeship. It's going to take time, but we've started something here.
Definitely. Like changing that narrative for sure.
Changing it. And we have to, you know, on February 21st, I'm teaching the class at GCU, and it's again, Mike's adulting class, and it's how to interview. It's how to interview. And the journeyman that got me into the trade basically bought me a pair of boots and said, you need to buy the second pair because you work on your feet. He told me not to wear that shirt with Budweiser on the front to work. You're a professional. Don't wear your Budweiser shirt. Wear clean jeans. Cut your hair. It was the 70s. I had quite a head of hair back then. Just cut your hair, because it's not going to fit under the hard hat, and they will make fun of you. These are the things that we have to teach. Instead of looking and say, oh, look at those construction workers. I love it when I see my Rosedan shirts. I was in Hawaii on vacation, and I saw a guy walking out of a grocery store in a Rosedan bright yellow shirt with the Rosedan R on it. And that was a proud moment.
Yes.
So
that's great.
We are creating professionals and teaming with the Department of Education. It brings a true viability that this is different. It's not a construction worker.
This is absolutely different. The fact that you're on the same page and working together, and that's something that that's not happening. So this is definitely innovative.
Yeah, it is. So if I could just chime in real quick about changing the narrative. So we couldn't be We are completely in agreement with that. And one of the things that, again, that's unique that the commission has done and what we're doing in Arizona is we're not calling it a pre-apprenticeship anymore, mm-hmm. right? We're calling it a professional career onboarding.
Okay.
Professional career onboarding, so PCO. And mm-hmm. what we found is, and I think it's the same thing. But it's interesting with just those two words.
The language.
Mm-hmm. The perception, you know, and we're dealing with these parents. So, you know, when we're in middle school, part of, in, like I said, when you go to the site, you'll see the framework. But you'll see when we start in middle school and the response we've been receiving both from industry but from parents mm-hmm. has been, oh, my gosh, I love that. You know, and I'm like, right. I don't care. Call it, you know, widget banana or whatever. Call it. Get to work. Get some skills. Get to work. If you want us to call right. it professional career onboarding, we'll call it that. So we are changing the narrative. There's a couple of things that there's a word we don't use around here, and it's called trying. We don't try, we do. We are executors. And so we're changing the narrative. Ours is called professional career onboarding. And then by the time they're 18, they're ready to get into that apprenticeship. I mean, they're ready to get in there. And it's just like Rosendin, right? If you go through one of his programs in GCUs, you know you're getting a quality person. And this is where, you know, I mean, I guess this is my ask to all industry, across all industries, is mm-hmm. you've got to really be industry minded, right? And Mike is the exemplar of that because, you know, yeah, we're going to train people, but look, don't you want to train? I mean, it's about training the whole industry, right? I mean, we're all mm-hmm. going to work with each other at some point, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it's important, you know, this, but I'm 100% convinced of a couple things. One, that career technical education is going to save this country and it's going to save industries, period.
Mm-hmm.
Two, it's the private sector that's going to solve it. Okay. Yeah. It's not the government. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, Department of Education, you know, we can help, but it's going to require the mics. We need more mics.
Right.
So Mike, go figure, clone yourself or do something. So there's that. And then the third thing is this, and again, this may be selfish or whatever, biased, but I'm convinced that this program, our industry program solution, is the high tide that's going to raise all ships. Underprivileged, anybody. We've got stories where, you know, kid wanted to be a CFO, finance. They're like, you know what? Actually, one of our members, Mike, you and I talked about this. One of their kids went to a great school, working with an electrical company, an electrician, an electrical contractor, left, joined an apprenticeship, and he's never been happier. And he says, my kid looks totally different. Like, I don't even know who this is. He's so happy.
Oh, wow.
And that's what... Mm-hmm. Your passion, right? I mean, do what you do, and mm-hmm. And as long as there's people like GCU, companies like Rosendin, and you guys stay the course, and commissions like ours, and if you keep giving us a format, Ellen, to get it out there, we can solve this problem. Right. But you got to go to the schools, though. I mean, and it's not because I work here. I mean, unless I've missed some secret pathway, Deanna Jones path.
Exactly.
I mean, I don't know where you're going to get the work. You got to work with your Department of Education. So I commend mm-hmm. Superintendent Tom Warren for doing this, Mike and GCU, because I'm convinced this is going to solve that problem.
It sure sounds like a good idea to me. I mean, we've all been writing and talking about, as a journalist, talking about this forever, for the whole career. I've been working on this for more than 20 years, and nobody has seemed to come up with anything that seems as new as this. So I do think this seems to be, you know, groundbreaking, and it's going to be exciting to watch how this goes. And I know there's going to be a lot of excitement about hearing about this in the podcast. So thank you for that.
It is very unique. And I've grown so tired of listening to every local union I work with across the country talking about their organizing efforts and how many they organized.
Yeah.
It's when you look at the fact that we need a 500,000 wiremen between now and 2032
mm-hmm.
to join 500,000 to join just to keep the IBEW from going negative, just to hold right. zero growth. We need a 500,000
yeah.
by 2032. And to hear those numbers and to hear, you know, all of my peers at NECA and the IBEW saying, we're going to organize more and we're going to go out and we're going to do this. It does not work.
Yeah. Like,
We have to get to the parents and make the parents want it. We have to have kids in sixth grade saying, I want to be an electrician. You have to have so many different things. I was able to convince my board of directors to write. We've put a significant amount of money into the GCU program. My comment was, they're all going to work for Rosendin eventually. We're the biggest electrical contractor in the country. We're 7,000 people and we're growing, and we might as well train the whole world, because our goal is to be the only electrical contractor in the country. So, you know, sorry, brothers and sisters out there, you know, we're not sitting here waiting to see what happens.
Right, right.
We're going to forge ahead. And, you know, I'm grateful to have the people that brought me up in this industry and my board of directors that keep, they look, I know the executive sessions without me have been pretty about me. They may be without me, but they're about me. But this is the type of thing we have to do. And it's really working with the Department of Education, getting GCU to say yes, getting them to embrace it now. When I knew we had something, when the president of the university came and handed out the certificates for the spring class last year.
Oh, wow.
When I walk into what I thought was going to be a hand out certificates to a bunch of lonely kids, we had 100 people graduate the program, not graduates, but complete the certificate program in December. We had 600 people attend their certificate ceremony. They brought their families. Ellen, you would have thought they were graduating a four-year degree.
Yeah.
Congratulations, graduates. They want me to take pictures out in front of the State of the Cross and the GCU logo that they say might help start this. And they want me. The emotion that we're seeing in the families in this one little small slice of this earth called Grand Canyon University can scale across the country. We can do this. And we can make those kids so proud. One semester, and you would have thought they just went through 4 years.
Right.
And that's the difference. That's where that is the secret sauce to the whole thing. And that's if we can get, I want other universities to call me, other private universities, how do we do this? I want other parts of education to call Edward and say, how do we do this?
How that's do we why do this?
I'm going to Texas with the JETC down there, and Grand Canyon has a nursing school we're going to use, and we're going to try it somewhere else.
It's so incredible, though, that, I mean, so many things had to fall into place, though. I think you guys are making it sound easy, but obviously it's not easy. Like, everything that had to fall into place to make this happen, coming from an idea to actually executing something on this large of a scale, is completely incredible. So I know everybody's going to be really excited to hear about this.
Yeah, I don't know who invited Edward to the GCU get-together we were at, because he about tackled me when the thing was over, and we're like talking, we're sitting there like we knew each other for years, saying, oh, we want to do this, and this is what we're doing. This is out there, everybody's thinking, and if we can just stop all of these, you know, everyone's parallel trying to do something, and if we can get people to come together, if we can get the Department of Education, Department of Labor, they don't have to join, they can be separate, but if we can figure out how we help one another across the country, This changes the entire industry. We have the human capital in the country to fix the labor shortage. Just have to stop shoving them into college to do something they don't want to do. My brother was a great college student. He went to be a business major and went into the restaurant business and did very, very well in life. I was taken apart the lawnmower in sixth grade. I took apart every watch. None of them got put back together. Taking apart cars with, like, you know,
right,
there's a millions of mics out there that they want to work with their hands and do stuff, and they don't.
That could be your new slogan. There are millions and millions of mics out there. I like
that. I love that. We'll bring that up the next
so anyway, if your kid just took the toaster apart, you might have an electrician. That's the old Steve Foxworthy thing, you know.
I could, I just want to, you know, you did a podcast on in January, like the later part of January, about AI, right?
Yes.
And I thought that was cool. So if anybody, you know, you might want to check that out. But I thought what was interesting about that is I love that you brought technology into it, because I want to touch on something that Mike just said. It's really about engaging the parents, right? You got to engage parents and the students earlier.
Right.
What we've heard from high school, what we've heard from the market, right? From Mike, I'm not like putting words in your mouth here, but it's going to strangle me through the screen. But what we've heard from other CEOs is it's almost unanimous. Is like, hey, by the time you get to high school, if you're starting high school, you're starting late.
Okay.
Right. Okay. And so what we have done as a commission is we're using technology, like I said, that I think that your listeners, I think that the industry, that the trades and the electrical industry specifically needs to start considering, hey, how do we get these kids engaged? And again, another thing I'm totally convinced of, just coming from the private sector, is going to be leveraging technology.
Sure.
Right. And then to attract them to it. And just one quick example, we're creating a virtual experience, an augmented experience to get kids interested, to make, you know, electrical contracting really attractive. I asked one of our other corporate partners, said, hey, what are you doing for your recruitment days? And they said, we have a booth and some paper, which, hey, I'm sure there's a lot of people out there, which is great for us. But, you know, we're not kids, you know,
no.
Is one no. experience, you know, and I know Mike has a real interesting, he made a comment too. He says, yeah, we've used that before. So I commend them for, again, being innovative. And he said that he had a line wrapped around of kids that just want to do that. So look, I think there's simple steps that the industry can do. Again, we have a framework that we have here. But I think, you know, leveraging technology and being innovative can do a lot of good for the industry.
Well, that's something you kind of touches on something else I wanted to talk about, Edward, where I was going to ask you, are you seeing or hearing anything from the students or the parents or the educators about what are these new generation of people wanting? And so it's technology, not only technology, but other things that maybe are more important to them than maybe someone my age or Mike's age when we were starting out, you know, it was like, what's your salary going to be? That was pretty much it. Like nobody was talking about any of these other things, work-life balance or anything, maybe, you know, financially, that's not the most important thing to these younger people. So are you hearing or seeing things from that about maybe what these younger people are, what's important to them? Is that changing?
You know, it's interesting. That's a really smart question. And I'm going to also defer to Mike on some of this as well, because what we're finding we're going to be working with the vendor, our commission, to create, we want everyone to use one piece of technology instead of a bunch of silos, right? Like we all need to be working from the same page. But what I think we found is with parents don't really know. So first of all, rebranding to professional career onboarding has been an enormous help. I can't tell
how
helpful those three little words have been for us. So that gets them in the door. But I think what has hooked them is we've done a few beta tests so far, where with some experiences, again, using technology, where these people are like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize that being a lab tech, you know, being in a white suit working for TSMC was like something sexy. I didn't know my kid could do that.
Yeah.
And then they show them the finance for middle school kids. They don't care about they're not worried about the money. want it to be fun. When they get to high school and you tell them, you throw that, what Mike's saying, hey, you can come work for Rosendin. You get insurance, you get $70,000, $60,000, you get an apprenticeship program.
You're good. Yeah.
No debt. You're good. Mm-hmm. They start thinking about money when they're 16, 17 years old, and you have a little girlfriend or, you know, whatever doing. You know, want to go have lunch with your buddy. Mike and I want to go, you know, go to lunch or something. You start thinking about that. Middle school, they want to find their passion. And I think that's why summer camps are good.
Yeah. On the technology side, you know, Rosendin, we've really led the way electrical contracting for technology use. We have a tech center here in Tempe, Arizona. We started in about 2008 with our modelers. So all of the BIM modeling for Rosendin across the country, 90% of it's done here in Arizona. So 1 mile from my office here in Tempe, across I-10, we have, I think there's around 110 modelers. Mm-hmm. In that building are 3 PhDs in statistical analysis and
quantum
analysis.
Okay.
Where we've been working on our AI. We've been building our AI platform since 2017. And we're doing predictive analysis on costing, on safety, on estimating.
Oh my gosh.
We used that at the career days as our hook. While our competitors are growing up with conduit benders and wire and hard hat and cool stuff, we show up with a HoloLens, and the line starts for kids to put on the HoloLens and walk around the building and see what they are building.
That's so smart. That's going to be our next podcast. So,
we've got so many kids over there that come in to do that. We have electricians that get broken, whether it's their back or their hands, that go into working BIM. And we have young men and women that go into BIM that say, well, I'm tired of sitting here behind this screen all day. And we say, well, come with us. You can touch the real stuff.
Yeah.
This business is not about bigger, heavier, you know, tools that you have to do. It's not the electrical contracting that I started with.
Right.
We have power tools for everything. We have benders that work right off the model. We send out spooling drawings from the model to the bender, and it's bent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it still needs a journeyman standing there making sure they're putting the conduit in right and doing the quality control on it. But that type of technology is real and it's out there. And that is what we have to also share with these. You know, the parents think that all they see is the tool pouch on the hip and a butt crack and the kid coming home covered in sweat and dirt. Yeah, we have a lot of them. That's how we make our bread and butter right there. But we also have the young foreman or the young journeyman that is the techie that's walking around doing all of our layout, tells you where to put the receptacle. It tells you where to put the light fixture at the elevation. And you check quality control when it's in to make sure it's in the exact spot. You do your as-builts. That's all done electronically with technology now.
Right.
We've led the way. We've got some competitors that we work with on sharing information. This business is not bigger hammers and the larger tools. This is about technology, smarter. We've got a spot for everybody in the industry, and especially at Rosen. And if you want to dig with a shovel, there's a lot of folks that do not want to come inside. We can make you happy. The industry is that vast. And I love sitting at these AEEC meetings. I'm sitting there with, you know, the electrical contractors, sitting there with CEOs from Raytheon, with TSMC and Lucid Motors and Banner Health and Intel. You know, you're looking at senior levels of all these people. And when they really scratch the surface and hear what we do, they're like, oh man, we didn't think about that. We're sharing. This is we're breaking down walls and changing the world right now. So
definitely is bridging the gap. So, is there any other final words of wisdom or advice maybe you want for the listeners or other electrical contractors, people who are, you know, feeling these same pains, but they don't know where to turn. They don't know what to do first. Like this might seem overwhelming to them because like, this seems like such a, you know, sophisticated system that you built out, but you have to start somewhere, right?
Absolutely. Electrical contractors, this is the labor shortage it's not getting better. It's going to continue to be a major issue in our industry. Get involved. If you have ideas, get involved with your JETC. Do things differently. Become your local union's largest recruiter.
Mm-hmm.
The organizers are organizing union members. And I don't want to offend any of the brotherhood out there that might be listening to me. I'm still a union member, guys. Don't come after me. they are recruiting union members. You are recruiting employees and electricians. Go after them. Bring them and feed them to the union. Be the union's largest organizer. If you want to know how to do it, I'll tell you everything I know. You can find my email. But get involved. This is Rosen is a big company, but we touch very little small part of the world. Get involved and don't sit back and say, hey, this darn labor shortage is killing us and big Rosen's taking all the people. We can't take them all, but you can build your own. It's not that hard. Just get involved. And if you got an idea, I kept screaming until someone listened.
That's right.
And here
look
we
what
are.
Happened.
You know, it's just go do it. This is opportunity and opportunity and opportunity. So
awesome.
I love the business.
Yeah, I agree. I think get involved, just do something. If it's one thing I've noticed and might have an opinion on this, but I would say, you know what? I just add one thing to that is get involved and make sure that whoever you're getting involved with is accountable. make sure there's some clear deliverables, right?
Mm-hmm.
We've been to a million meetings, a million things. You know what?
Right.
And all I hear is
talk about
mm-hmm. talk. Go find Mike Granewald. Go find those guys of the world, and you'll change it. I promise you. You'll change. Mm-hmm. This will change. It's a solvable problem with the right people, and get involved and hold people accountable. And, you know, if anyone who's worked with me, you'll know that whenever I need something, I need it yesterday. It's go time all the time. And when you have that attitude, I think, and you're open-minded, just getting involved, like Mike said, and you know what? Reach out to the Department of Education. See what you can
right.
do.
Right.
Make a deal. You know, again, I would encourage everybody, you know, reach out to Mike, no doubt. And if you want to see another framework, go to azeec.org. Look mm-hmm. at our deliverables. And just get involved and hold people accountable. Really hold, you know, be the recruiter, be the change that you want to see. And we can fix this and we can do, but we got to work together. We really need to work. This needs to be an industry led. But we can get this done. There's no doubt.
Well, it looks like we're about out of time today. Thank you so much to Mike and Edward for sharing their industry insight, knowledge, and experiences with us today on their new training partnership. And if you didn't catch part one of the podcast, go to our website and please check that out. It's just as interesting as this part two. In closing, I'd also like to thank managing editor Ellie Coggins and editor Michael Morris for editing and putting these podcasts together. For more information, visit our website at ecmweb.com. This podcast is produced by ECNM Magazine, part of the portfolio of Endeavor Business Media Publications. Well, I think that's it for now. I'm Ellen Parsons, signing off of ECNM On Air. Please let me know if you have any podcast topics you'd like to listen to in the future. And don't forget to check out our website for more podcasts and other great content resources for electrical construction professionals. Thank you and have a great day.